1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. And we are. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. And we are. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us this morning. Lord, we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And we're hungry and thirsty for more of you, Jesus. Father, we ask you to pour out your spirit of love this morning in our hearts in a fresh way. Lord, we're not ashamed to ask you to come again and pour out your Holy Spirit of love within us, giving us eyes for Jesus only, giving us a heart that is fully devoted to you, giving us lives that live out the great calling that you've placed upon us to love one another. We thank you, Lord, that love covers a multitude of sins. And Lord, your word exhorts us to have a fervent love for one another. So we just ask you this morning, Lord, that you would pour out your love in our hearts as we read these scriptures and we think and ponder about how great the Father's love is. We ask you, Lord, to expand our horizons through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. This first word here, in the New American, it's see. King James has behold. It means to look. It's a once and for all command that we should look and study and gaze and think about and ponder upon the incredible love that God has for us. There's a very famous verse in John chapter 15, verse 9, which Ted read out. And it says this, doesn't it? That just as the Father has loved me. Jesus is speaking. He says, just in the same way, in the same manner that the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Remain, continue, walk, live, remain in the sphere of my love. And it's not an option, is it? God, Jesus is commanding us, remain, abide in my love. Now, we get so easily sucked away into works, don't we? We get so easily drawn away. But God wants us to live in the sphere of His love. It means that wherever we go, whatever we do, what we say, what we think, that all of it is governed by this incredible love that God has for us. And the amazing thing is that He's saying, listen, the same kind of love that my Father has for me, that's the same quality of love that I have for you. I know I've spoken about this before, but I can't get away from this, that God's, if we think about the love of God the Father, how much He loves His Son. If we think about the intensity and the passion in God's heart for His Son. And Jesus is saying, listen, that same intensity of love that exists between the Godhead, between the Father and the Son, that same capacity, that same volume, although it's limitless, but that same intensity of love that God has for His Son, He has for us. That's incredible. That the capacity that God has to love is poured out upon us. And then Jesus says, now go and live in that love. Go and live in that kind of love that I have for you. That's incredible. It takes away shame, doesn't it? Love removes shame. Right? When you meet your partner, your spouse, you can be vulnerable, can't you? Because you know they love you. You can be open and vulnerable. And it's healthy, isn't it, when we get married to share all about our lives and our failure. And so love brings us into a place of freedom and openness. And as we realize how much God loves us, we can be open and vulnerable to Him. We can allow Him to search our lives. We can allow Him to point out sin. and pride and selfishness, because we know He's doing it in love. He's doing it because He loves us, because He's not content to allow us to carry on in our sin. It says in James, doesn't it, that the Spirit within us yearns jealously. And it's an incredible verse, and it's the thought that God within us is yearning jealously for a full, intimate relationship with us. He's not content to share us with our career, not content to share us with even another person. The greatest commandment we know, Jesus said, didn't He? What's the greatest commandment? Somebody asked Him. What is it? It's very simple, isn't it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? The gospel of grace. It doesn't say the greatest commandment is, oh, you've got to give your tithe. Or the greatest commandment is, oh, you've got to go to church on a Sunday. The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second greatest commandment, of course, is natural, isn't it? If somebody loves God horizontally, there's going to be a horizontal aspect to that love too. We're going to love each other, right? The greatest commandment. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Jumping back to 1 John chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So the first thing is we have to behold this kind of love. Now practically, what does that look like? Well, if you love somebody, you're going to spend time with them, right? When you met your wife or your husband, there was no shortage of time you could sacrifice to spend with them. It's the same with the Lord, isn't it? If we want to behold the love of God, we've got to spend time with Him. We've got to spend time loving Him and allowing Him to love us. Right? We're going to spend time reading His Word. We're going to spend time with other Christians, other believers that love Jesus, praying and seeking God's face. Behold what manner of love. Behold, it's the word is kind of like gaze upon, think upon. Think upon what kind of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Why? Why is it important, you think, to gaze upon and think about and ponder this incredible love that the Father has given us? Another way to read that verse, I don't know if anybody's got Wiest, but he's a great Greek scholar, and he writes this, it says this, behold what exotic, foreign to the human heart kind of love the Father has permanently bestowed upon us. It's incredible. As we gaze upon the love that God has poured out into our lives, we find in our hearts a love rising up back to Him. God, thank You. I love You too, Lord. I worship You, Jesus. That's what it says in Romans 5:5, the love of God shed abroad in our heart. The word there means gushed out. Gushed out within our hearts. God, we love You. We worship You. Thank You. He gives us a grateful heart as we behold the kind of love that God has for us. The second part there I'd like to talk about is how great a love. This love is foreign to the human heart. It's a different kind of love. Love can only be known from the actions it prompts. If that is true, love can only be known from the actions that it prompts, right? If you said to your wife or your husband or your friend, I love you, and you never actually did anything, they would maybe begin to think, well, I wonder if they really do love me, right? Because love prompts action. Right? If we love something, we're going to be, if we love our job, we're going to do a great job. If we love the church and our brothers and sisters, we're going to be part of their lives. We're going to serve them. If we love God, we're going to serve Him. Love prompts action. And as we think about the action that God's love prompted Him to do, I mean, we all know, don't we? For God so loved the world, the cosmos, that He gave His only begotten Son. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. This is how much God loves us. God loves us so much that He gave us His Son. As we think of Jesus, the pure, spotless Lamb of God, dying on that cross, laying down His life for us, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. He's given us His Son, Jesus. It means that whatever situation that you're in today, whatever we're facing, we know that God loves us. And in His love, God has given us the very best gift He could ever give us. In fact, there was nothing better He could give, was there? He gave us everything that He had. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. His love for us prompted action. 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, a little baby born, growing up to be the Son of God, dying on that cross. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Incredible love. Amazing love that God has given us. There was a commentary I read that is a great definition. It said, but obviously, this is not the love of complacency or affection. That is, it was not drawn out by any excellency in its objects. Now, when we think about love, we tend to think about excellency, don't we? You know, we love things that are excellent. But there was nothing in us that was excellent, that God should love us. Out of the sheer overflow of His love and mercy, God poured out His grace upon us. It says, doesn't it, in Romans chapter 5, that while we were enemies, Christ died for us. When we were far, far away, He drew us near. He didn't wait for us to kind of polish ourselves up a bit and learn how to be good little Christians. But no, God stepped into our lives when we were far, far, far away. He drew us near. Jesus said, didn't He, greater love is no man than this, than He laid down His life for His friends. But we were His enemies. We were far away when Jesus died for us. We were lost in sin and darkness. Greater love is no man than this. Jesus died for people like us, sinners, hell-bound, destroying the very gift that God had given us. God says, I love you. I love you. I see exactly who you are. I know where you have been. I know exactly your tendencies and your propensities. And God says, I love you. I love you. Not with a transient love, but with an everlasting love. We could go to Jeremiah chapter 31. It says that very thing, doesn't it? I've loved you with an everlasting love. In other words, a love that began before you were born and a love that will continue when you die. I've loved you with an everlasting love. A love that doesn't change when we do really well. A love that doesn't ebb away when we fail and make mistakes. But I've loved you with an everlasting love. That's incredible. Incredible love. Incredible of while we were sinners, Christ died for us. This is the kind of love that God has for us. A love that knows us intimately and perfectly and yet isn't put off by our weaknesses and our failure. Now, I've got a friend of mine who's single. It's not Dale. And I often say, well, what's happening? Are you going to get married? Well, I can never find anybody good enough. That's what he would say. I can, you know, when we want a partner, we're looking for the very best, aren't we? Right? We've got a list. Somebody was saying, oh, there's a guy that shared at school, and he had a list of requirements of what he wanted to see in a wife. I don't know about you. Did you have a list, Paul? No, you just fell in love? Yeah. Yeah, me too. Yeah. I'm not a list guy, but this guy. But
he wore diapers a long time.
Oh boy, we won't go into that. I think I've opened a can of worms here, Paul. Sorry, man. But you know, isn't it great that God didn't have a list? He didn't have a list. So I'm going to love you for who you are. I made you, and I love you. I just love that. I can't get enough of it. I'm really sorry if I'm being repetitive, but I just, isn't it wonderful to ponder and behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us? What manner of love? You know, we have kind of these high-minded opinions of ourselves, don't we? But oh, we realize as we look back, the path that we were on, the propensity of our sin. Hell was the only destination I was going to. Broad is the road to destruction, and many there are that are upon it, Jesus said in Matthew, right? And Jesus stepped into our lives and poured His love out upon us. Oh, I'm thinking of when I remember when I was a young boy, I got to that age where I knew God was calling me. And I came forward at a meeting, and a man prayed for me, and I just felt, oh, I'm loved. God loves me. God loves me for who I am, not for what I can do, not for my sporting ability, the way I can run, or my ability at math, because I never was very good at math anyway, right? But God loves me for who I am. He made me in His image. I'm an image bearer. And God loves me. Not because I'm son of Derek. Not because I'm good at anything. But because He is love. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, if we could go to 1 John chapter 5. In this is love. Not that we first loved Him. But that He first loved us. Hallelujah. This is the love that God has for you. This morning, it's a love He has for me. It's a love that frees us to be who we were made to be. We don't have to worry about, oh, it's just old Steve again going off on a tangent. Who cares? I don't really care what you think in one sense. Right? We need to be free. God frees us to be the people He made us to be. So we're not worried about, oh, what does she think or what does he think? Or what will they say about me? Hallelujah. God frees us in His love so that really we only have one person we're living for. One person we're trying to please. We're not trying to please that person or this other person. But we're living, God, I want to please You, Lord. That's my one aim in life. Lord, Your love for me has so freed me that I'm going to live for You, Lord. Your love casts out fear. It makes us free from what people think about us. It makes us free from our past. Free from our failure. Free from our struggles. Right? Because God, You love me. Hallelujah, Lord. You love me. Just the way that I am. With all of my faults and failings. All of my earthiness. God, You love me. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I love that. Oh, thank You, God, for loving me. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Oh, thank You, Lord. You love me. Hallelujah. You love me. This is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We're just ordinary people. Right? Jars of clay. Pots of clay. Ah, but God says, oh, I love you. I want to fill you with me. I want to take this little earthen vessel, this little jar of clay, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to actually come and I'm going to fill you with my love. It's wonderful, isn't it? I'm going to fill you so full that it's going to start to flow out. And it's going to start changing not just you, but people around you. So people say, wow, you're different. So Dale's friend can say, you're kind of like a father to me. I don't understand where this is coming from, but happy Father's Day. That's the love of God shed abroad in Dale's heart, and now it's flowing out to other people. Hallelujah. Amen. How many people have we experienced that? I know I've experienced it. People just loving me for no good reason. But there's something in them that causes them to love. Some of you remember a man called David Weatherly, who was here, just a simple man, a carpenter. But he was a man who could love people. I remember as a boy, 11 or 12 years old, he would come visit us at our house and he would hug me and say, Steve, how are you? I love you. And you know, those big preachers, they never took time for any kids. They weren't interested in kids. You know, they'd come and stay and talk about great lofty things and lofty doctrines. And here's a man who would come and say, Steve, how are you doing? I love you. And he would bring us gifts. Remember, he gave me a little, remember those Walkmans? You guys, I mean, anybody under 20 probably thinking, I don't know what that is, but remember those Walkmans? With they were portable. They were about this big. And we thought, wow, they're portable. Joseph, remember those? Right? We're like, yeah, stick it on our belt. Headphones on, walking. I think, man, I'm really cool. I've got a Walkman now. This big pack on the side. Remember that? Anyway, he gave me a Walkman, and I was just blown away. You know, this guy who was just, he was a well-known preacher, and yet he loved me. God had done something in his heart so that he loved even children that were really of no consequence to him. That's what God can do, isn't it? Cause us to love each other. So that as we behold this kind of love that God has for us, that it begins to spill out on other people. And we find that love does indeed cover a multitude of sins. So that we can see flaws and faults in one another. Right? I mean, most of us have been here for decades. Right? We can see that we're just ordinary folks. But yet we love each other. Because God's love has been shed abroad in our hearts. And we have this love for Jesus. God, we love you. And so, Lord, we love each other. We begin to love one another. Right? Because we can't love each other unless God has this vertical love that's being poured into our hearts. Because it's exotic. Right? It's not a human love. It's a God love. It's a God thing. This agape love, it can only come from God. It can't come from anywhere else. It's wonderful, and that's what God wants to do for us. And I know I need more of it. I don't know about you, but I know. Sometimes I run desperately short on agape love because we get selfish. Now think about this word behold. As we behold the manner God's love for us, we lose focus of the things around us. We're not so focused on pleasing people. We're not so focused on ourselves. But as we begin to gaze upon Jesus and His incredible love for us, we begin to find that those things which were so big and so important begin to diminish. Right? And God's love begins to increase in our lives. And so begins to overflow. Right? Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. I'd like to talk just very briefly in conclusion about this word bestowed. And it means that it's a gift. It's a grace gift. It's linked to the word grace. Behold what manner of love the Father has graciously gifted to us. So all we have to do is to receive this love. It's not a love that we can earn. It's not a love that's given to the good and to the intelligent, to the wealthy and the wise. It's a grace gift. It's a love that's freely bestowed upon us. Isn't that beautiful? That God's love is graciously given to hungry hearts. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. And what does it do? So that we should be called the sons, the children of God. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that at one time we were sons of the devil. We were children of darkness. But now you are children of light. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? That one time our father was the devil. We were hellbound. And God stepped in and made us children of the light. So we're children of His love. Just like any other union, children. Right? Marriage, you have children. And so God says, you are now my children. Children of my love. Purchased by my blood. Redeemed by my Son. Filled with my Spirit. Empowered to love the unlovely. Just like Jesus did. It's the same Spirit that God puts in us that was in Christ. And did Christ love the unlovely? Absolutely. I mean, He was criticized for it, wasn't He? Right? Oh, His friends are just... The King James has a great word, doesn't it? What, is it wine bibbers? I don't really read the King James, but I seem to remember that. Wine bibbers, right? What is a bibber anyway? I don't know. But I think it means people that bib wine or drink wine or something. But right? Your friends are the publicans and the wine bibbers and the sinners. And Jesus was very comfortable with that, wasn't He? Because He was changing them. He was changing their lives. Praise God. So this love that God has bestowed upon us brings us into His kingdom. And just like the prodigal son, as he came home and he said, I'm not worthy to be even a servant in your house. The father says to him, doesn't he? He says, oh, my son has returned. My son is home. Let's kill the fatted calf. Let's celebrate. My son who was dead is now alive. Hallelujah. That's the kind of love God has for you and for me. Isn't that wonderful? Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. We don't deserve this love. We don't deserve it. Nothing we can do except receive it. Are you willing to receive a fresh dose of God's love this morning? Maybe you already have. That's wonderful, isn't it? Like the picture that God gave to Manjit. You know, a hand stretching out, saying, I love you. I love you. Willing to put your hand into the hand of the Father and say, Father, I'm in. I'm in. I'm in, Lord. I'm in. That's really all it takes, isn't it? I'm in, Lord. I want to be your child. I want to be your son, your daughter. I want to follow you. I want to be with you. That's wonderful, isn't it? If you've never done that, I encourage you to do it. Whether you're young or old, if you've never really said, yes, I want to follow Jesus. I want this love. There's something about this love that's drawing me, that's alluring me. I want this love. The Lord is here today to pour out His love upon us.